Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Simple Church. This week we look at how important fellowship with other believers is to our faith. People come to church for a variety of reasons, but they stay because of the relationships they have developed with fellow Christians. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Later in verse 46 it says they met together daily and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. By spending time together they learned about each other's struggles, celebrated together, and encouraged one another in their faith. That is the true power of Christian fellowship. Romans chapter 12 verses 9 to 21 gives us the blueprint of how to have true Christian fellowship. Verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." A church must focus on various ways to make fellowship happen. It can happen in Sunday school, at a women or men's group, choir practice, or a fellowship meal. It can happen in each other's homes. Galatians 6:2 says, "We are to carry each other's burdens." How do we know about those burdens unless we spend time with one another outside of church? Join us this morning as we fellowship together. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.
Praise the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Praise the Lord in the assembly of the faithful.
Let us be glad in the presence of the Maker.
Let us praise God with dancing and music.
Let the faithful sing for joy.
Holly Beery leads our children's time.
Does anyone ever come up to you and say, "Oh my goodness, it looks like you've grown a foot"? Does anybody say that to you?
No.
No? Sometimes? Well, are you guys growing?
Yeah.
How do you know you're growing?
We're getting in bigger and bigger each day.
You get taller. Do sometimes you have to get new clothes because your clothes don't maybe fit you anymore? Your shoes, you have to get new shoes because sometimes your foot gets bigger, right? Do you guys go to the doctor sometimes for a checkup? Exactly, you have a well check. So they check your height and your weight and make sure you're growing. So you might get a little card at the doctor's office and they tell you how tall you are and maybe what percentile you're in compared to other children, right? At our house, we mark on the door. So if it's your birthday, then you get to stand against the door and we put a little mark with your name and your age. And then you can see how much you've grown in the last year, right? So growing strong and healthy is very important, isn't it? But what's even more important is growing in God. Do you guys know how we might be able to grow in God? What do you think? What could we do to grow in God? How do you guys learn about God? You read the Bible, right? You go and you learn by reading His Word, right? And coming to Sunday school and church and talking to Him every single day, right? So growing in God is so important. We need to know all that we can about God. Yeah, maybe you have a devotional book that helps you. Okay, so we want to make sure that we're growing in our relationship with God. So we want to read His Word every day. We want to talk to Him. We want to make sure that we're going to Him when we have a problem or we need advice or help with something, right? And God gives us all of the things we need to grow in Him. Okay, can you guys fold your hands? We're going to pray to Him right now, okay? Dear Lord, help us to grow in You. Help us to have a good relationship with You. Help us to talk to You every day and spend time with You. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Our senior choir sang a patriotic anthem for Patriot Day.
Thank you.
Alan Martinson reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Simple Church, Growing Spiritually is a Must.
The first lesson this morning comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. This ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes to us from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 3. About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, with instruction about ablutions, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. This ends the second reading.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, choir. Man, it is great to have them back in our midst, and great to hear their songs, especially on this day, singing about America as well. Last week we talked about, we introduced you to the cards in the back. I noticed a lot of them are gone now. If you did not get one last week, make sure you pick one up. It's kind of the five things we're kind of focusing on our church here to make sure. Last week we talked about connecting through regular worship, individually and collectively as a group. And this week we're going to talk about growing spiritually. I've seen all the pictures of everybody, and their school has started. You know, I've seen all the pictures. First day of school, everybody's holding up the sign saying what day it is and, you know, what they want to be. And then I've seen our seniors. You know, they're graduating, you know, here in May, and their parents put up, you know, their first picture, kindergarten. I saw Stacy do that, Lauren's first kindergarten picture, and now her senior picture about how fast, you know, time flows. And this year our little guy started kindergarten. And so we see them start their kindergarten year, and we expect them as they change grades to grow. Kindergarten, first grade, you expect them to get a little bit bigger physically. You expect them to learn a little bit more educationally. And as each year goes, we expect them to grow. And that doesn't stop once we get out of high school. But once you graduate college, you get a new job, and you keep learning that way because you're learning the new job. Man, when you get married, you really start learning then, don't you, all right? You start learning all kinds of things about that. And as you get older, you learn all kinds of different things that our life is just continually changing. And I heard Holly mention it in her children's time. She mentioned a doorpost that you measure on, all right? That's the way that we kept track of our children. And we kept track of them physically. Now, how do we keep track of ourselves spiritually? We're expected to grow. We're not expected just to come in at a kindergarten level spiritually and just stay there. God expects us to grow. And when we look here at 2 Peter chapter 1, it's going to sound familiar because our high school kids did it just a few weeks ago, but they covered the things that we're to add. I want to cover the beginning and the end of that message. And it says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. We're expected to have knowledge, and that knowledge is expected to grow. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. We're expected to do something with the knowledge that we have, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. See, faith isn't enough. Faith is enough for salvation. Faith is enough to get the forgiveness applied to our heart, to get the Holy Spirit in our lives. But he expects us to grow. He doesn't expect us just to come right in there and just do that and then walk away and do exactly what we want. But we're expected to grow. We're expected to spiritually mature. But there's some people that kind of have some myths about spiritual maturity. They just think it automatically happens. Just coming in here into church on every Sunday, that's a good thing. We talked about it last week. But that just osmosis will happen, and that will automatically spiritually grow, just like, you know, grass does overnight. I remember I had some guys that I went to school with that they would lay their textbooks under their pillows at night, hoping that the knowledge would just seep through, that they didn't have to study, that somehow those words would pop into their brain and that they wouldn't have to study hard. But we're expected to focus and put in purpose to grow spiritually. Some people think only a few specialized people, like preachers and teachers and Sunday school superintendents and leaders of the church, those are the only ones that really need to grow spiritually. I'll just kind of follow them. I'll kind of just lag behind them. I'll kind of hold on to their coattails. But he doesn't really mean me, does he? Well, we also see that maybe spiritual growth is just memorizing a few things, and that'll get us good from now until we walk into eternity. Man, we're real good at memorizing the Lord's Prayer. We recite it a lot of times at different events, and that's a good prayer. When Jesus was asked, that's the prayer that he gave. But when you read Scripture, you see all kinds of other prayers, and we're going to talk about that in a second. Here in a little bit, we will recite, as one, the Apostles' Creed to remind us the foundation of our faith. Some people have John 3:16. That's the one verse that they remember. Psalm 23 is a very powerful one. And that's kind of the bank that people kind of hold on to. That's kind of the one verse or one chapter that they hold on to. But I think there's more to it than just expecting that we'll just have it happen to us, that we need to focus on. It needs to be part of our DNA. When we read that there in 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about add to your faith. The word that he means there is supplement your faith. I know many of you in this audience today that you will not go through the day without taking your vitamins, all right? I've got medicine that I take. This morning I took my very nutritious bowl of Captain Crunch with the little crunch berries in it. I know that's very nutritious, but I go along with that. I take my supplements, especially the last 2.5 years, fighting this virus and everything. They want to boost your immune system, and so I had one doctor tell me that my B12 level was a little bit low. I'm down to 1 of that. I need to get some more from that. I tell you one thing Mike Nichols turned me on to was elderberry. I take my elderberry pill every day, Mike, all right? I kind of supplement myself with that one. And then I've always been a big zinc taker. I've always taken zinc, especially when I got a cold. But someone gave me this bottle. It's got calcium, magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D3. Because I know that just my Captain Crunch with crunch berries is not going to be enough to get me through the day, that I need to add something to my faith. And what he's saying there, that our faith gets us in the door. It's the ground level of our faith and in our walk with the Lord. But we need to continue to grow. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 that Alan just read there that we are to be equipped, that we are to be ready to travel, ready for duty, ready for the things that come our way that we're going to have to fight and go up against. He says that we will then no longer be infants or children tossed back and forth by the waves, by every wind of teaching, and that we will be held together and that we will mature as one body. You know, if you came into yourself spiritually, you stayed at the kindergarten level all the time, you would not be ready for the things of life, would you? You'd not be ready when you have to face temptation. You'd not be ready when things don't go the way that you want to at work. A child or an infant would what? They would fall down on the ground and they would start to throw a fit. Yesterday, I told you I went and played golf with my son-in-law, my future son-in-law, and my daughter's future father-in-law, but my grandson was there. My little Gannon was there. And on the last hole, we had a bet that whoever made the putt, the other one had to buy that one a candy bar. And I made my putt. It was a long birdie putt. Boy, it was a good one. I was so happy. Gannon missed his putt. You know what he did? He fell backwards on the green. He just fell down on the green just like that, just so upset that he had not, you know, matched his grandpa. That's what happens with children. Too many times, though, we stop before God's masterpiece is done. He's only halfway done with the painting of it, and we walk away from it because we're not thoroughly equipped. Paul is telling you and me to continue to work out, to see the things around us that God wants us to do so that we can become the disciple that he wants us to be. We've already read in Hebrews chapter 6 that he wants us to grow so we're not like children anymore. And we do that so we can move beyond these elementary teachings. We've got our confirmation class up here. We got one of our other students back there. One is watching online today. We're going to start doing the elementary teachings. Hopefully by Wednesday we will have the books of the New Testament memorized. How far along are we on that, guys? Are we pretty good on that? Hunter just shook his shoulders. All right, you got 3 days, buddy. All right. Have we got the first five? All right. You're in church, so you're being honest. I appreciate that, all right? But we're laying that foundation. But that's for eighth graders. What does he expect from you and me? More than just knowledge, he wants us to grow in the body. He wants us to be able to handle disappointment when people hurt us and we get discouraged. And then look at the last words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul is addressing a crowd. Remember the people that taught you the word. I've been here and I've heard people say about people that have passed away. When we do their funeral, they'll say, I remember when they taught me Sunday school. I remember when they were the leader of the choir. I remember when I was in high school and they did the youth choir. I think you guys said that about Jane English, Abe. That he was the leader of our choir, and we talk about Sunday school teachers, but more than that, more than what we learned here, we learn about how they live their lives when struggles come, when losses come, when your children don't do exactly what you want them to do, and they have struggles as well, and it hurts you no matter what age of a parent that you are. He says, we want you to remember those from whom you learned it. And then he says, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Why do we focus on Rock on Wednesday nights? Why do we have Sunday Rock in children's time and Sunday school and VBS and church camp? Because we know the foundation that we lay is going to be the foundation that they build the rest of their lives on. That's why children and youth are so important to us, that we can train them. And then he says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we don't grow spiritually, we're not thoroughly equipped. We're easily defeated. Ephesians chapter 6, talk about putting on the full armor of God. We're thoroughly equipped. He expects us to grow. He expects us to have our focus on his word. But what are some ways that we can grow? Number one, we need to spend time with his word. I got my phone with me. And I've challenged many of you to get the Bible app on your phone. If you don't have it, ask any five-year-old and they can load it for you, okay? Every day they have a verse, they have reading plans, and you can read your Bible anywhere. Find your time to read your word and spend your time in his scripture. Find you a devotional book. I know different people read in different ways, and I brought with me the devotional book. I picked up one of the antique places in town. It cost me all of $1. And it has a devotion for every day. And this was devotion for yesterday. See how much this would encourage you if you read, had a devotion every day. He says, I am always available to you. Once you have trusted me as your Savior, I never distance myself from you. Sometimes you may feel distant from me. Recognize that as feeling. Do not confuse it with the reality. The Bible is full of my promises to be with you always. As I assured Jacob when he was journeying away from home into unknown places, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. My last recorded promise to my followers was, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let these assurances of my continual presence fill you with joy and peace. No matter what you may lose in this life, you can never lose your relationship with me. I don't know about you, but boy, that's a pick-me-up no matter what day I read, whether it's September 10th or it's September 11th. This coming year, we're looking at, we've been talking to a couple people about doing a men's and women's Bible study on Wednesdays. We're going to get those dates knocked down. We're going to be going through a book called Core 52, 52 weeks. We're not going to do 52 weeks in a row. We'll do 8 weeks here and then split up and do a little bit more. But you'll start with Genesis and go through Revelation. By the time you go through this book, you'll have a very good and deep knowledge of the Bible. We're doing the student edition right now in high school, along with our confirmation kids. They have a chapter they have to read every week in this. We're focusing on growing spiritually in our youth. We're challenged also to grow spiritually as adults. But we got to spend that time in Sunday school. Spend that time reading our word at that special different time that we find each and every day. But it also tells us that we need to grow through our prayer life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Prayer is just not for Sunday. Prayer is not just for a meal. Prayer is for any time in the day. We have a good Lord's Prayer, but we have the other prayers that will encourage us and lift us up. I told you my little guy started kindergarten this past week, and it was a little bit more of a transition for him. He did pre-K last year, did really well with that, but this whole day is just a little bit longer than he's used to. There's been times in the day he gets a little fearful, he gets a little anxious about some things. Yesterday when we were playing golf, I found different times, I said, Gann, I said, when you start to be fearful, I said, you remember how we pray at dinner time? I said, say this prayer for me when you start to get a little bit fearful at church or at school. Say, God, I don't feel very good. Help me feel better. I love you. Amen. And he said, okay. And Betty saw him later. He said, did Grandpa talk to you about what you need to do when you get a little bit fearful? Oh, yeah, Grandpa told me. That's the same thing for all of us here this morning, isn't it? Struggle at work, struggle in your relationships, struggle with things that happen throughout the life, things around the world. God, I'm not feeling very good right now. Could you help me? I love you. Amen. That's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? Paul gives us this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. It's my favorite prayer of the whole Bible. He says, for this very reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being established and rooted in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. When you don't know what to pray for someone physically, you can pray for this for them spiritually. When you know that they're hurting, you can pray that their inner spirit will be strengthened, that their faith will be strengthened. That's when we grow in our prayer. And then the last area that he challenges to grow is in our giving and in our generosity, the giving of our time, our resources, and our talents. Paul likens it to planting seed, that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly, but if we sow generously, we will reap generously. He does this so he wants us to be generous on all occasions. But Jesus said that when we grow spiritually, our behavior should change, shouldn't it? He said, by their fruit you will know them. If we're growing spiritually through prayer and through reading, we're going to see changes in our lifestyles. We're going to be changes in our way that we use our talents and our abilities. But what does it look like? What does an ineffective, unproductive, nearsighted, blind, and forgetful Christian look like? Peter ends it this way in chapter 1. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. When we stay at the kindergarten level, or we stay at the middle school level, or we stay at the high school level, we become ineffective and unproductive. We forget the promises of God. One day this week, Gannon's pre-K teacher came in. He was down, he was a little bit upset. His pre-K teacher came in and just encouraged him and gave him a hug and reminded him of why he was there. That's what we do when we study and we grow. Let's not complicate it. This series is called Simple Church. Let's don't get overwhelmed with all kinds of different activities. Let's focus on worship and focus on growing spiritually. There was a golfer that grew up in this area that made it in the PGA, John Daly. He was the same time that I was going through high school. He had a philosophy, grip it and rip it. It's the same with our philosophy here at the church. Grow spiritually through our reading, through our prayer time, and through our giving ourselves generously of our talents and our times. But he gives us the divine power through the Holy Spirit to do that. We get that divine power when we make a decision for him. We're going to see that divine power at work after church day when we have a couple baptisms over here next door at First Christian Church. And we encourage you to come over and take full advantage and watch that and support the family. But the question I have for you today is, where would you measure on this stick today spiritually? If God was marking your name right here and the date, where would he say that you and I are at right now? Would he say that we have some growth to take place in our life? I know I do. The way that I react to disappointment and circumstances, I've got a lot of work to be done. But we need to have our focus on it and be fully equipped.